I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 26 through 31 there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31. I'll speak to you on the subject of the end of sin. We are caught up so many times in sin, and sometimes it seems like that there's nothing that can be done about it, but God has given us a way to avoid it. And one day we're going to see the consequences of those sins. There are a lot of people who are going to go to hell simply because they do not understand the severity of their sin. And they have not turned to God in faith. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we're made aware of just how fearful it is to fall into the hands of the living God. Lord, sometimes we get the wrong opinion of who God is. Lord, sometimes we flippantly go through life not realizing that every idle thought we'll give an account for one day. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Teach us your word. Open our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, first thing we want to look at this morning is the fault. Listen to what he says in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have come or have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. When we know the gospel, and we reject the gospel, there is no other way to heaven. The gospel is the only hope that we have. The problem is that so many times there are other plans available to us that seem like the gospel, but they're not the gospel. And sometimes we opt for things that won't save. But God says that we must respond to the gospel. We must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we understand it, or else there is no hope for us. There is no second plan. There's no more sacrifice for sin. And so when we realize that, we have to get a grip on what God is saying here, because receiving the word, receiving the gospel, is so important to us. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17. We've just gone through this in Sunday school. But I want us to read this together, beginning with verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is the plan for receiving Christ, folks. When we hear the gospel creates faith within us that if we use it, we can be saved at that moment. So many times people hear the gospel, they have the faith at that moment to receive the gospel and be saved, but then they put it off for one reason or another, and it hardens their heart. And so it is absolutely necessary that we understand he's saying here, don't turn from the gospel when you hear it, because that's the very best chance you've got of making it to heaven. The next time won't be quite that strong. It'll be easier to resist, and on and on and on until finally it makes no difference at all. Rejecting the gospel is a horrible thing to do. You say, well, I'm going to believe one day. One of these days, I'm going to get around to believing. I used to witness to a fellow pretty regular. I was burdened for him and his soul, and he kept telling me that he was going to get saved one day. One day he was going to do it. And I said, well, tell me what day it is. I don't care if it's 20 years from now, whatever, you set the date, and I'll be here, and you can get saved. He said, well, I don't know when that's going to be. I said, I do. It's going to be never. Because you're resisting the opportunity to be saved when it's available to you. And you're putting it off. You see, when we reject God, and God tells us how we ought to respond, and we don't do that, it hardens our heart. And it is a very dangerous thing to reject God. Listen to Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear. And I understand that word fear. He's talking about fear the consequences of rejection. He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now I want you to listen to this real good. Whole lot of people think that they've got their own plan worked out with God. You know, all I've got to do is say this prayer and I'll be like everybody else, but I can go on with my life and do whatever I want to do. The problem is, if you want to do different than what God wants you to do, you've not yet lined your life up with God. Every person who puts their trust in Jesus, who really has faith in Jesus, wants to do what God wants them to do. Now, they may not always be able to do that, but the desire is going to always be there. And so if you have some plan of salvation whereby you're going to just try to get over on God, and you're going to go on in your life of sin, and you're just going to keep on doing what you want to do, but you're going to pray this prayer, you get your baptismal certificate, and you'll mark it in your Bible the day you were saved, and then you go on about your business, hoping that's going to get you to heaven, you're going to be badly mistaken. And folks, it is important to know that, because you only get one shot at this life. When you die, it's over. Right now, we have a gracious God, and God is extending to us the invitation to put our trust in Jesus Christ and to meet him in heaven one day. And if we just take that lightly and flippantly and go through life, and the most important thing in our life is to lay up treasures here on this earth, and that's all we care about, and everything else has to take a backseat to that, then we're going to be badly mistaken when we stand before God one day and he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. You say, well, but Lord, I got baptized. I prayed the prayer. I asked for your forgiveness. I believed in Jesus. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You say, well, what makes the difference? What makes the difference is whether you really believe in Jesus or you're just trying to get saved. You see, nobody wants to go to hell. If I asked this morning, is there anybody here that wants to go to hell? Nobody would raise their hand. Nobody wants to go to hell. That's foolish. So everybody wants to go to heaven. It's just that some people do not want to go to heaven bad enough to change their lifestyle. If God's going to change my lifestyle, I don't want any part of it. But you see, that would be a lot easier to work with if people would just say, I'd rather have my sin and live the way I want to live than to go to heaven when I die. That would be easier to work with. But what happens is people say, well, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to change my lifestyle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the best of both worlds. I'll pray the prayer. I'll ask Jesus to forgive my sins. I'll ask him to save me, but I'm going to run my own life. That makes for confusion, because then the person has gone through the motions, and as far as we can tell, you're saved. But God knows the heart. God knows that the real change in the heart has not taken place, because what you really are doing is come up with your own gospel and try to get Jesus to sign off on it. Folks, we can't tell that. When the young man came to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he told him, go and sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. And he went away sorrowful, because Jesus said, there's one thing you lack here. You haven't committed all to me. If that young man came here and he come down here and he said, I want to be saved, and he prayed the prayer, and we'd baptize that rascal and he'd be a member of the church, we'd never know what he lacked. I can't see in your heart, but God can. So it falls onto you, your responsibility, to make sure that you really believe in Jesus. You say, Brother Allen, why is that so urgent? Because you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to leave this world with whatever condition you're in. And if you've been fooling yourself and fooling everybody else, while you run your own life however you want to run it, you may be sly at lying to people, you may be able to cover up your sins, you may be able to do all that stuff, and far as we know, everything is wonderful with you and God, but when you die, God is going to know your heart. Don't be deceived. God says it over and over and over again. I am convinced that there are people all over this United States who think they're going to go to heaven, who are going to be rudely awakened at the judgment. When people die, they immediately go to heaven or hell right then. If you show up in hell one day, there's no exit. You will never get out of hell. Well, I'll repent then. No, you won't. It's not available. I'm going to tell you, the wrath of God is a horrible thing. We don't like to think about God being wrathful, but he is. God has determined before the foundation of the world that he's going to send his son to die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And whoever puts their trust in Jesus, he's going to eternally bless and save them. Everybody who rejects his son, he is going to crush them throughout all eternity. It is going to be the most horrible wrath poured out on people forever and ever and ever. Nobody wants that. You bring somebody up out of hell and you give them one more opportunity to be saved. Whatever God requires, they're on it, I guarantee you. There's a lot of believers now in hell. As soon as they get there, they believe. But you see, we only get this life to determine what we're going to do with Jesus. If we mess this up, we go to hell. Simple as that. And so it behooves us not to neglect what God has offered to us, and not to settle for something less than absolute surrender to God. You know, we all know God wants us to do more than we do. We all know God wants us to surrender more than we've surrendered. God has revealed to us what he wants from us. And if you're living outside those directives of God, you're living dangerously, because you are holding something back from God. And God told that young man, one thing thou lackest. What would he say to you? You got 1, 15, 20, what? You see, we have evolved as a people into a new situation, we think. Now, there's a lot of things that we just kind of overlook. God doesn't overlook. And it's absolutely necessary that we take stock of where we are with God. God has called us to a responsibility. I want you to listen to this passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now here's the picture. God has seen our problem. God has seen that we are sinners completely. And God has sent his son to die on the cross to take away all of our sins. And he says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That doesn't sound like pray this little prayer and go about your business, does it? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He says, it's better if you come to the knowledge of the truth and the gospel message comes in and you realize God is ready to save you. And you turn and you go away sorrowfully, like the rich young ruler. Or you just simply say, well, Lord, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you part of my heart. I'm going to control most of the stuff. And if you tell me what you want me to do, I'll think about it. That's not salvation. And if we turn back to the old, and when he's talking about the vomit, he's not talking about that you sin after you come to the knowledge of the truth. He's talking about turning back to you as the Lord of your life, turning back to you being in control of yourself, making your own decisions, doing what you want to do. That is turning back to a life that you should have left if you really believe that Jesus was right. See, that's what believing in Jesus is all about. I believe that what Jesus has laid out for my life is the very best for me, whatever that means. He don't have to tell me on the front end what it's going to be. Whatever it is, that's the best, because I believe in Jesus. That's what it means to deny yourself. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel shall find it, but whoever saves his life shall lose it. You got to turn loose of you as the Lord of your life in order for Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And people who don't want that, and they turn back, he says, just like a dog returning to his own vomit, or the hog that was washed returning to his wallowing in the mire. Why? Because his nature's not changed. God wants to change our nature. He wants to put a new desire in our heart. And when he puts that new desire in our heart, we don't want to go get in the slop anymore. Now, we may have those flare-ups when we get in the flesh, but it's going to break our heart. We're not going to be happy there. If we're happy there, and all we need to do is convince everybody else that we're not happy there, convince everybody else that it was a mistake, and we get kind of hide our sin and keep on going, that's not going to work. And God wants us to know that. Now, here's the fact. Verse 26 through 29. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This passage, like all of the Bible, is for everybody. It's for the saved, it's for the lost. You see, whenever we receive Christ as our Savior, we have to be extremely careful that we not turn back and begin doing some of the things that we did before. Say, oh, well, it's covered by the blood. I have freedom to do this now that I'm saved. I can do whatever I want to do. You say, Brother Allen, I would never say that. Would you do the same thing if you knew God was going to destroy you right there? You see, there is a certain amount of presumption when we're saved. If I do this sin, then I confess this sin, it's all good. Folks, that is the philosophy right out of hell. It is not God who is leading you in that direction. He says here that there is a certain fearful looking for of judgment. When a Christian turns back and begins to live in sin, judgment is coming. When a Christian begins to live in sin, there is a consequence to that Christian just as surely as it is to a lost person, with the exception of hell. And everything that we do has a consequence. People have destroyed their lives by trying to cover sin and live in a sinful condition year in and year out, thinking that I'm covered. You see, in order to understand the seriousness of this, we need to understand that there is no escape from hell. You will never get out of hell when you get there. That's how serious this is. You say to me, Brother Allen, there's just things in my life that I can't give up. There's just things in my life that I'm not able to surrender. Well, let me tell you something. You're gambling with your soul. It is not a matter of you can be a Christian and still gamble with your soul. Whenever we realize that, there is no escape. It is that serious. There is no rewind. There is no getting over it. I was made aware. It was kind of funny. One day I realized that I was getting old. And I had this silly thought. When I'm young again, I'm going to do things different. Then I thought to myself, I'm not ever going to be young again. So, well, that's kind of silly thinking. But you know what? I believe a lot of people are going to go to hell because of that kind of thinking. When I get my second chance, I'll straighten everything up. The truth is, you don't get a second chance. Whenever we die, it's over. Hell is forever. It's permanent. You say, but how would a good God throw people into hell? You ever heard that? How would a good God throw people into hell? Well, let me tell you something about good God. Good God is a wrathful God. You have no idea. When God's mercy is over, the wrath of God is poured out, read the book of Revelation. What's going to happen to those armies that he comes to conquer? When he's going to set up his kingdom. The Bible says for 120 furlongs, the battle went across this valley called Armageddon. And the blood came up to the horses' bridles. He calls it the wine press of the wrath of God. That's a little picture of what hell's going to be. God is going to pour out his wrath on us, and we won't be able to die either. There's no escape. God is a wrathful God. When his mercy's gone. Right now, his mercy's extended. His grace is there. And we can take advantage of it. And we can wipe our feet on it. And we can do whatever we please and say, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. And then we die. And then it doesn't matter what we say. Because if we don't have Jesus, we don't have life. And it's very seriously laid out in the Word of God how we go about that. Listen to Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How shall we escape? You see, it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter how convinced we are. What matters is where our heart is. God knows the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. I can't tell whether you're saved or lost. You can't tell whether I'm saved or lost. God knows. God looks on the heart. And he says here, if we neglect so great salvation. Well, you say, well, Brother Al, I've prayed the prayer. I've done the thing. Listen to me. Neglecting salvation is neglecting to do it God's way. There are so many gospels in the world today. So many things. And people, I believe, come up with their own plans. Everybody seems to have their own idea about what it takes to get into heaven. But you know what bothers me? Is seeing people day in and day out just living in sin. Never thinking twice about it. And then expecting to go to heaven when they die. I remember I was at a funeral for the sheriff in a little county where I was pastoring. And there was a man who was a county supervisor. He came to the funeral. He had a reputation of being a real crook. I don't know the man personally. He knew me, and he came up to me, and he said, Pastor, when I die, if they ask you to do my funeral, don't tell them I went to heaven. You tell them you saw how he lived. You can guess where he went. I said, well, if I preach your funeral, that's exactly what I'll say. Whenever we live our life in such a way as to look like lost people, we probably are lost people. God says, deny yourself. What does that mean? That means don't do the things you want to do. Give that up. Take up your cross. The responsibility for following Jesus every day of your life, making the decisions that he would have you make, that's what it means to follow Jesus. If you say, well, I don't want any part of that. I don't want God telling me what to do. I don't want God to run my life. Then you don't want Jesus. And it's time that we understand that. There is no escape the wrath of God if we fail to receive him the way that he has called us to receive him. There's no exit from hell. Luke 16, 22 through 26 says this. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I don't know about you. That sounds pretty permanent to me. Somebody gets in hell, they're there. Do you know this rich man is still burning in hell today? That's been about 2,000 years. He's still burning in hell. Another 2,000 years, he's still burning in hell. Another 100,000 years, he's still burning in hell, crying out for help, with no help, no mercy. You see, that's the reason. We don't want to mess up. Don't settle for a discounted salvation. Don't settle for some other plan other than giving your life to Jesus Christ. So is it absolutely necessary that I serve God every day of my life to get to heaven? Let me tell you something. If you don't want to, then you don't want salvation. It's as simple as that. If you want something less than absolute surrender, you don't understand salvation. There's no ease of the pain. This is hard for me to grasp. I'll be honest with you. If you turn your burner on your stove and you get it red hot and you put your hand on it, it's going to hurt really bad for a little while. Pretty soon, the nerves will be burned up and you won't feel anything. Hand will be ruined, but you won't feel anything. Not so in hell. There is no end to the suffering in hell. Listen to Mark 9, 43 through 48. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now listen to me. God picked out three things that would be very hard for us to give up to emphasize to us how important it is to give up whatever he puts his finger on in your life. You see, God will tell you, this is not acceptable for a Christian. This is something I want you to get rid of in your life. Just like he did to the rich young ruler. This has got to go. And if it's your hand, he says, cut it off. If it's some activity that you're doing, cut it off. If it's something that causes you to sin every time you get exposed to it, don't go there. You see, God wants power over our life. That's what we sign up for when we receive Christ as our Savior. We give him our life. We lose our life for Christ and the gospel. You see, Jesus does all the saving, but we've got to be agreeable to it. He never saves a man against his will. Whenever we surrender to Jesus Christ, we surrender to Jesus Christ because we want what he is offering to us. We want the change. We want to be his. And so God has shown us here the absolute responsibility that we have in giving our life totally and completely over to him. You say, well, how would I know if I've done that? Where are you at today? See, salvation is something that stays with you. Where are you at today? Are there things in your life that Jesus has put his finger on and you've said, no, I'm not giving that up? It's not good. You see, the just shall live by faith. That's not a suggestion. If you have put your trust in Jesus for real, and you have surrendered your life to him, when he says, give it up, you're going to give it up. The fear. Verse 30 and 31 says this. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Did you read that? Did you understand that? He says that when God sees us doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, his wrath is kindled against us. And whenever we turn from him, he will judge us. There will be consequences for the saved and for the lost. So he says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When God decides to take his mercy off of a life, the Bible says there's a sin and a death for a Christian. When God decides to take his hand of mercy off of that person, they will self-destruct. He who being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Luke 12, 45 through 48 talks about God's recompense. But what if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, to eat and to drink and be drunken? The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You see, God knows what he has invested in your life. The person who has been worked with more and more and more by God is going to have the stronger consequence when God begins to recompense for our life. We may have sat on a church pew all of our life and never put our trust in Jesus Christ. You see, going to church won't save you. Going to church is a good thing, but it won't save. We have to put our trust in Jesus Christ. God's requirement. John 3, 35, 36 says this. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now remember, believing in Jesus is not just believing he was a good man. The devils believe that and tremble. It's not just believing that he died on the cross. That's a historical fact. You can even believe that if you would put your trust in him, he would save you. But believing in Jesus goes beyond all that. It is believing that what he is leading us to do is the very best, and we're willing to surrender our life to him and give over to him the complete control of our life and live by his grace. Whenever we give ourselves to that, we meet the requirements. Until that time, we're settling for something less, and it won't save. God keeps a record. Nobody's going to get to heaven and God not have a record of your life. Everybody has a record. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 says this. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Who's in control of your life today? Is it Jesus or is it you? Are you living however you want to live? Got a good excuse for everything? Got something to blame everything on? Or are you completely surrendered to Jesus Christ? And if you sin, you confess it as sin with a broken heart. Or is it just a flippant, done it again, Lord. Sorry about that. Because God keeps a record. God knows exactly what the situation is with you. He knows exactly what the situation is with me. And until our lives are given over to him, we're living on dangerous ground. Because time's going to run out. lot of people think, well, one of these days when I'm older, then I'll get saved. I'll put it off a while. That way I can run my own life now. And then I'll turn it over to the Lord when I'm old. Well, good luck with that. About 2 weeks ago, there was a man going to cross Highway 78 at Shelby Drive. And there was a car coming that he couldn't see because there was a truck there. It was a young man. And he ran right out in front of that car. And the car didn't even have time to put his brakes on. And it knocked him way across. He didn't have time to get saved. It was over with. You see, we're not promised that we're going to live here 70, 80, 90 years. You may not make it home today. Don't ever put off till tomorrow what you know you ought to do today. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, and you would say in your heart, I know I have never really given my life to Jesus, then you need to make your way up to this altar. And you need to give your life to Jesus. You see, time's running out. Even if you live to be old, you'll get there quicker than you think. And the longer you go, the easier it is to put it off and put it off and put it off. You see, Jesus knocks quietly on that heart. If you hear him speaking to your heart this morning, that's a gift. That's an opportunity. He may never knock again. Doesn't have to. I hope he will if you put it off. But it'll never be quite as loud as it is today. So if you know in your heart you've never really surrendered to Jesus, this is your invitation to come down here and just, if you want me to pray with you, you say, I want to be saved. I'll take it from there. Whatever God lays on your heart to do, if you just need to come and pray, the altars are always open. It's time to get serious with Jesus. Because the trumpet can sound at any moment. And whatever state you're in, that's your eternity. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your salvation. Lord, it is a great salvation. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here that's never seriously given their life to you, laying everything on the altar, holding nothing back, Lord, that this would be the moment when they would make that decision for all eternity. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Lord, you know when we're leaving this world. And Lord, I pray that you would send out your call one more time into that heart. Maybe he's been deceived. Maybe he's prayed the prayer and been baptized, but never really put their trust in Jesus. Lord, I pray for that soul this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.